The most dire of predictions about the COVID-19 outbreak in New York City seem to have been averted. Strong leadership and responsible public behavior have begun to flatten the curve, even as less populous parts of the country see their numbers continue to rise sharply. Because a significant chunk of our healthcare system is in the hands of faith-based medical nonprofits, it's an important aspect of any story about illness and recovery. Even more so when an overtly religious group literally brings its tents to town. Because that group, Samaritan's Purse, headed up by Franklin Graham, has a dark history of anti-gay bigotry, I wanted to get the perspective of Ross Murray, Senior Director of Education and Training at the GLAAD Media Institute, as well as a deacon in the Evangelical Lutheran Church. Ross, glad you're here. Thank you for being back on State of Belief Radio, and let's get started.
Absolutely. It's good to be talking to you.
You're based in New York, so first of all, I want to ask you, how have you been?
I have been okay. This has been, I think, our eighth week of staying at home. We've given ourselves a pretty strict routine to make sure we wake up and do take walks outside, especially when it's nice out. I took a little one before this interview, and that has kind of helped to keep us safe and kind of give us some semblance of normalcy. So I have not been out and about a whole lot. We've been following the advice of medical experts and staying home and using face coverings and avoiding everybody right now. No one really knows when this is going to end, and we're trying to keep our spirits up to know that what we're doing is for the good of our neighbor, the good of humanity.
Right. Ross, you've expressed dismay about the Franklin Graham outfit, Samaritan's Purse, bringing emergency resources to New York City. Please talk about why the April 1st arrival of the medical tent city was problematic.
Yeah, when Samaritan's Purse first announced that they were going to move to New York City and set up a tent hospital in Central Park, I think the immediate concern was Franklin Graham, as you said, is someone who has a history of really violent anti-LGBTQ language, as well as other groups. It's immigrants, it's Muslims, but we focus a lot on LGBTQ stuff. And it's been stuff like claiming that Satan is behind LGBTQ advocacy, about telling people it's the flames of hell to you, that there are consequences for being gay. And so when he comes to town purporting to want to help a population that includes LGBTQ people, I think there was at first a real concern about what does that mean if you think that Satan is behind us and we are now trying to entrust our health care to you. Does this mean that when it comes down to making choices about who's going to get health care, that LGBTQ people would be left out? He talked about this and said, we'd never turn away anyone. We all need to come together. The other part of it was, though, that even though they have partnered with a public hospital or with a hospital that has a pretty good non-discrimination clause, and of course, New York City has a really good non-discrimination law in place, Samaritan's Purse has said that anyone that works or volunteers with them needs to sign a statement of faith. You have to believe that marriage is the union of one genetic male to one genetic female, and that, again, LGBTQ people or people that don't affirm that are destined for hell. And so it is making sure that it is only anti-LGBTQ people that are providing this care. And those concerns all got coupled alongside of the way this is being handled in New York City. Samaritan's Purse's tent hospital had 68 beds in it. We have converted the Javits Center, which is our big convention center, into a, I'm going to get the numbers wrong on this, 800-bed facility. The USS Comfort was another 1,000 beds that might be reversed, but there are hundreds of beds elsewhere that got underutilized, and it's hard to see why a tent hospital needed to be set up in a visible location, replete with Samaritan Purse branding to say that they're coming and helping when you see these other larger scale things, or the fact that we have vacant hotels all around the city right now that would have had the heating and the air conditioning and would have helped to keep some of these small businesses in place. But that would have meant having to work with folks that were not Samaritan's Purse aligned. And so this was raising several issues at the same time of, is Franklin Graham capitalizing on New York City and its great diversity? Is this fundraising and PR tool? Is this a way to go back and continue to say such horrible anti-LGBTQ things, but to say, but I helped them when they got sick? And I think that's been the rolling issue over the course of the last month.
You know, I'm not even going to comment on that because I would say something I shouldn't say. So I'm going to ask a question. How on earth did those people even find time to implement a lifestyle litmus test in the middle of a pandemic?
That's a good question. One, I think I've poked around Samaritan Purse's website quite a bit. I think that that lifestyle covenant is for everything they do. So if they're responding to tornadoes in the South or the pandemic or something else or whatever long-term things. So it's not like they wrote up a new one. This has been a long-term practice. Yeah. I think it's also been interesting. The other part I thought was interesting in New York was the failed relationship with St. John the Divine Cathedral, which had offered bed space, which it said you can convert our sanctuary into a field hospital. And we're told the partner was Samaritan's Purse. And I know several people questioned why would you know, again, that's a strange partnership. The St. John the Divine is part of the Episcopal Church. It's pretty LGBTQ inclusive. There's an open lesbian bishop in our diocese here. And after about a week of back and forth that was happening during Holy Week, it was finally announced that, nope, it's not going to happen, that St. John the Divine is no longer going to be providing this this service, which is odd because, again, it's another faith-based institution, but it's an inclusive faith-based institution. It's one who's doesn't have the same political agenda, partisan agenda that I see coming from Franklin Graham. And so that was another big alarm bell for me about why is this being set up? Why is this here?
I think most of us were dismayed when the president petulantly withheld taxpayer money from the essential World Health Organization. But there were credible reports that some of that money then went into Samaritan's Purse. What do we need to know about that?
That's a really good question, and I hope that more people are able to investigate this. I think I continue to ask myself, how did this hospital get set up in Central Park? It requires a permit, right, to do something like that big in Central Park. It requires a partnership with a major medical institution that's going to agree to work with you. I do not know this, but I cannot imagine that there wasn't some political pressure being provided to make sure that Franklin Graham got his PR opportunity and that it was going to be working to become a PR opportunity rather than a really concerted and organized effort to treat and stop the spread of the coronavirus. There are folks that do not want to let a good crisis go to waste. And I think as a Christian and as a deacon, I'm always foremost focused on what are we going to do to solve the problem? And that has to be our first question, right? How am I going to fix this? How am I going to stop the spread of the disease? How am I going to care for those that are sick or vulnerable? And, you know, somewhere way far back is the, how do I make sure I get credit for it? How do I fundraise to make all this happen? I realize that those are issues that have to be grappled with. But if this is something that's being coordinated through our highest levels of government, that's really disconcerting to me.
So many of our vital healthcare professionals are LGBTQ persons. That makes your call for Graham to call it a day even more poignant in light of what his organization seems to want to do next in New York. Talk about that, if you would, what he wants to do next.
There's been talk about what will happen. Will the tents stay up? It seems like they're about to come down in the next couple of weeks, and they've stopped admitting new new patients. There for a while was conversation that instead of operating under a tent, that that the personnel were going to move into the hospital system that they had partnered with. And after some significant outcry from GLAAD, from the Reclaim Pride Committee, and from some elected officials like Senator Brad Hoyleman and City Council Speaker Cory Johnson, the announcement sort of said that presence in the hospital is also going to wind down and end as well. But I do think that the videos, the photos that were taken, those are going to be used for a very long time. And I think those are also going to be ways to continue to bolster this belief that we needed Franklin Graham to come in and save us. LGBTQ people are a part of healthcare, and they've been a part of this pandemic response since the beginning. When the coronavirus affects Boone, North Carolina, where Samaritan's Purse's headquarters are, in a significant way, LGBTQ people are going to be there treating folks that are hurt. And we are probably not going to set up big, gigantic rainbow tents. And I can imagine what would be said if we did put up big rainbow tents to help do some of this caretaking. Because again, our focus is on making sure that we can take care of the problem and not do branding and not lay blame where this comes from or if there's a certain population has to be to blamed. As a community that has a history of having lived through another type of pandemic, and I don't want to draw, you know, the absolute parallels between the AIDS crisis and where we are right now. But I think for folks, especially those of us that are old enough to remember what kind of blame was being laid, what kind of communities were being vilified, there's a real big concern that history in some ways is repeating itself, even in a different community. And I think that's been a real concern for LGBTQ people that already know and understand stigma and don't want that spread out to others.
One other question before we go. Religion and healthcare are dangerously intertwined at many levels in our society. I am afraid, do you have any broader prescription for reducing the risk of LGBTQ and other targeted persons when it comes to what certainly ought to be equally available, quality, non-discriminatory health care?
You're asking a big question. I think I answered this broadly in terms of what I would like to see. A healthcare system that is set up that does treat people equally, that recognizes that we all have medical needs and those are going to manifest themselves in different ways, and that healthcare systems, whether they are public or private or religious or whatnot, subscribe to the same standard of care. Now that's a push to make sure that we can all get access to healthcare and get equal access to healthcare. In the short term, I think that there's a different approach, is that recognizing that we do push to make sure that major healthcare systems, whether they're public or private, do have non-discrimination clauses in place. And I know there's certain ones that are owned by religious groups that really don't want to provide certain types of care, and in some cases, some certain types of LGBTQ care. I think that the focus needs to be on the care, and that if someone is offering a hospital out of a religious conviction, that means that the hospital is there to treat and to take this argument. Other folks that don't see it the same way are not going to understand it. We've had arguments about whether clients can be served, whether certain procedures are going to be included, whether people can just be turned away. And that's at hospitals and pharmacies. We've seen it the most often in the media around, you know, bakers and florists and wedding industry type places, but where it has real life and death impact and where we're seeing it right now does come out in terms of hospitals and healthcare. And I would be absolutely terrified. I am terrified of getting sick, and myself being a gay man or imagining a transgender person, realizing that the only recourse they have is to go to a hospital that is not going to either recognize their humanity or just flat outright refuse to treat them.
Ross Marie is Senior Director of Education and Training at the GLAAD Media Institute, as well as a founder and director of the Naming Project, a faith-based camp for LGBTQ youth and their allies. In addition, Ross serves as a deacon in the Evangelical Lutheran Church, and we'll link to his GLAD blog posts on Franklin Graham and much more from stateofbelief.com. Ross, as always, I really appreciate what you're doing, and I appreciate the way you're doing it, and we're always glad to have you on State of Belief Radio.
Thank you so much, and thank you for examining this issue. It's important.